knew going in there's going to be more transition on defense, and you know, we just felt we needed to kind of add some free agent depth, which we did on the D-line. We added Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. But then we looked at the depth of the draft. When we started in February, we felt like there was going to be a good number of D linemen that we would have an opportunity at some point early in the draft. Not necessarily first round, which we got a corner, but the next two picks lined up for us to take D linemen. And so we weren't going to turn away from it with the value that we had on our board.
Bill Shim, Brandon Bean, talking about how they came to get the draft class that they did. We talk every Wednesday with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting, Bills Squad as well, a live show that he and I do with Jerry Ostrowski on YouTube Mondays and Thursdays. Joe, good morning. How's the week find you?
Good morning, Jeremy. It feels like it's already been an entire week, and it's only Wednesday morning. So, yeah. Surely this has got to be Friday, right?
Yes, it feels like it. Well, all right, Joe, before we get to the draft class, how have you taken in the last, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours in terms of the Bills and all the discussion about them, whether or not their draft grades, which I see an awful lot of really positive draft grades, Brandon Bean on the media tour here on Pat McAfee, all of it. When you take it all in, where do you land?
Well, I think most people, including you, really like this draft class that the Bills had and set out for this mission of reloading this defense, which has been a problem late in the season. They've done a lot here in free agency and in the draft to improve the D-line, to add in the secondary, to give them a lot more personnel options to be a better third down defense, to get off the field. And that was kind of the missing piece of what was lacking on this defense last year, was that ability to get off the field. And I mean, certainly that's been the theme of everything they've tried to do, was get players that can attack the quarterback, that can cover, and I feel like they've accomplished that. As it relates to the Brandon Bean stuff, you know, obviously it feels like when he starts doing media, it's like he goes on every media outlet imaginable. So he's been on the tour coming out of the draft, and I guess I tend to agree with what he's saying, that, you know, that defense was the problem. Go ahead and make your primary investments there. I simultaneously agree that, you know, there was maybe an opportunity to draft at wide receiver somewhere in the middle rounds to add a player there. I think it went a little bit different than we expected with when Shamir Adike, Deontay Thornton, and Arian Smith went, you know, with the first eight picks of the fourth round. That really, I think, threw off the balance of the wide receiver depth in the class, because those were guys I thought were more fifth, sixth round guys. They started to go a little bit higher. And I think that changed the trajectory of what was going to be available on day three. And those are all players the Bills had in for visits. I think what I take exception with regarding Brandon Bean is the misrepresentation that he has of your opinion of this draft. And what I've landed on is, it's like, for example, going out to eat and having a five-star, you know, five-course meal, and you loved every single course, but you know what? You didn't love the dessert. You thought that dessert was not that good. But then the restaurant owner saying, this guy hates my restaurant because he didn't like the dessert, but he liked the other four courses.
Yeah.
And he's going on this media tour saying, you know, everyone's yelling at me about not wanting a receiver. They're discussing the draft, and their big takeaway is that we didn't get a receiver. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't the big takeaway. It was the, oh, yeah, well, we'd have liked to get for them to get a receiver. And so, you know, I didn't love the demeanor that he had, but I guess really where I'm at now as I continue to think about it is, why are we misrepresenting the actual opinions that you had on this draft? So, you know, it's quite the story.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things he had said was, you know, last year they kind of proved what they can do. And can they do it again? Can Josh Allen and Joe Brady, can they repeat what they did with a couple of changes? Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper appear to be out. Josh Palmer's in. I know you like the Josh Palmer signing quite a bit. He was a guy you would mention as a really good fit for them and for what they need. So, you know, can they repeat? I think there's a lot of, well, at least 1 year of evidence to think that they can. And the offense that they've built showed us last year that it can win in multiple ways.
Yes, I think there's a wonderful opportunity for them to continue, you know, being a top performing offense. I think Josh Allen and the offensive line and, you know, the multifaceted approach that this offense has is going to position them very, very well to be a good offense. I think everyone should expect them to be a good offense. I think the hard part about sustainability, you know, is not necessarily rooted in personnel. It's this team was very good at taking away the football, and they were unbelievably good at not turning it over, right? I mean, historically good. They turned over 8 times. Is that sustainable? I hope so. You know, that's the piece where the offense could take a turn, is can they continue to not put the ball in bad positions, not put the defense in bad positions? You know, that's what it comes down to. I think the sustainability of their formula last year was really rooted in takeaways and giveaways, and most people would tell you that those things are not predictable. They're not things that carry over year over year. Well, I would say there's a big enough sample size defensively with taking away the football that I feel like that will continue, but I mean, let's be honest, that was a big outlier season for ball security on offense. I hope it's the new normal, but it's year one of that. I think if they're going to sustain the offensive production that they had last year, they have to continue to be unbelievably good at not turning over the football.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills with us on the Wesser Hotline. So let's get to the defense, Joe. You mentioned the third down defense component that the Bills have kind of attacked this offseason. And in the draft, was there a pick where you really started thinking about that more than anything else? What Hairston could have been that in round one, but Sanders, yeah. And after that, like not necessarily just needs, but kind of these, you know, problems they had last year in attacking situations more than positions.
Yeah, Joe, it's really the first two picks, Hairston and Sanders, where Hairston, you know, athletic, right? Unbelievably athletic. And he's a guy that's going to just be tighter in coverage. He's a guy that is aggressive and hunts the football and can really take the air out of pass coverage with how he plays the game with aggression. And that's going to help you be tighter in coverage on long and late downs. But also, when you come around and you trade up for T.J. Sanders, and what was a really good trade for the Bills in terms of, like, they actually gained draft capital by moving up, which is pretty rare. But T.J. Sanders, you know, is the type of guy that profiles as an interior penetration style player, somebody that can get quick pressure in the face of the quarterback, that can kind of wreak havoc, and you pair with Ed Oliver on long and late downs to affect the quarterback. And they didn't go for a big-bodied, space-eating nose tackle, right? Even when they did with Walker in the fourth round, Walker's not a big plug in the middle of the defense that's going to eat space. His best thing is his ability to get up the field and rush. And so that really stands out to me. They could have picked Alfred Collins. You know, they could have looked at a Vernon Broughton or a Jamari Caldwell before the Walker, you know, around that Walker range. But they wanted guys that can rush and create penetration, and that screams third down, right? We want to be good on third down. And I think that was the moment where I really realized, combined with, of course, metrically, they were 29th in third down defense. They gave up, like, the fourth most first downs overall in the NFL last year. You know, I think that all of this kind of baked together. But when it went Hairston, Sanders, I thought to myself, yeah, they're serious about getting better on third downs.
And that's kind of where, Joe, this draft, it's not that different from their organizational philosophy for the last 8 years, right? Pass and stop the pass to a large degree. I mean, this draft was geared more towards stopping the pass. The previous couple had been Kincaid and Coleman, but here you have a number of picks on the defensive line. And as you're mentioning, we were asking about the one technique. Is that going to happen first round? Could they move up? And maybe if the board fell a different way, we would have seen one of those picks. But ultimately, what they did was they kind of stayed in the mold that they've been built for years.
Yeah, well, I mean, pass defense last year really fell off. I mean, the Bills typically been pretty good at defending the pass, but last year they're bottom 10 in EPA defending the pass, bottom 10 in yards, touchdowns allowed. You know, it's very kind of uncharacteristic, which I guess is to be expected to an extent with, you know, a lot of the transition that happened really in the secondary. But combined with your pass rush, I thought was underwhelming as well. And so all of the improvements you'd like to think in you know, some continuity year over year compared to a lot of transition, whether that was personnel or coaching last year on the defensive side of the football, you know, hopefully they can get back to where they were defensively, even with some evolution, where they can be a little bit tighter and more situationally sound.
Joe Marino with us. Joe, I want to ask you about the Landon Jackson pick in round three, because it is a pick that everybody seems to like. The player hits himself. And I heard you and Jeremy talking about him on your squad show earlier in the week. And he's been described as, what, a little bit stiffer and maybe even the type that the Bills often go for at that position. This is a legitimate question. I'm not even sure it matters, but the Bills don't have a lot of bend to that position in my eyes. But to you, like, does that even matter? If you've got four guys, they might all be similar types, winning in the same ways, but does it even matter, I guess, that they might not have a different type of skill set at that position?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the Von Miller or Leonard Floyd player in the mix. I mean, we'll see what happens with Javon Solomon, who's more of a profile for that type of guy. You know, I think it's if you have that ability to bend and corner, you know, that's obviously very important. But the more important thing for rushing in the NFL, what's more translatable to pressure and sacks, is being able to play with power and being able to play through contact. And I think that's really where Landon Jackson specializes, in addition to, you know, some of the other prototypes the Bills have on the edge, is guys that can compress, play through blocks, and, you know, really compromise the width of the pocket. And I think you have to look at it in concert with the interior guys, where you have power and compression on the edge, and you have penetration and quickness in the middle. And you like to think that all combined together would lead to an effective rush strategy, in addition to how you can work your twists and stunts. I think the Bills' defense metrically last year had a down tick in frequency of twists and stunts. And I think this personnel grouping across the defensive line, where you think about power and compression on the inside, and you want to have those guys kind of work down inside and loop around your quicker penetration style players, you have a lot of opportunities, I think, to run twists and stunts with this personnel grouping. Whereas if you have a lot of just burst and bend and then interior penetrators, maybe that doesn't really work together. Like, you've heard Von Miller, you've heard other people talk about how it's really about four guys working together to rush. It's not necessarily just one guy. And I think the combination of skills inside and outside is a good blend for the way that the Bills can rush and work, use those skill sets together to be the best pass rush they can be.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting as well. Joe, further down the draft chart, you know, we've got the first four picks that I feel like a lot of people have learned a lot about them. Fifth round, sixth round, let's get to the other nickelback and safety, Landon Jackson. When it comes to I'm mixing names here. Landon Jackson is the defensive end. It's help me remember his name. Jordan Hancock. Jordan Hancock is the nickel/safety guy, which to me, that's another one that, you know, here we are in the fifth round we're talking, and that makes a lot of sense, whether it's depth for Taron Johnson. You know, that role has been a name that Bills fans have known over the years, whether that's like a Saran Neal or if it's Cam Lewis. Like, this versatility in the Bills' secondary, it's a fifth-round pick, and I feel like it fit what their defense often needs.
Yeah, and I'm fresh out of the film on Jordan Hancock. I just got finished with that. And, you know, he is a versatile player, plays a lot as a deep safety, a lot in the slot for Ohio State. And what I really like is just his trigger. You know, he's a guy that is physical, that can fly downhill, is a good tackler, good contact balance and hitting power, plays under control, whether that's from depth or even in that slot. Like, there's a lot of, like, Taron Johnson-y type reps where, you know, he's playing on the second level, filling the B gap, blitzing, being able to click and close and drive and run the alley. You see that physical nature, which will obviously help on special teams as well. But we've seen the Bills play a lot more three safeties, that dime package. I think this is a player that profiles well to having an opportunity there. And I think from, you know, Cam Lewis, I believe, is a player the Bills really like, but you certainly get younger, bigger, and more explosive if you were to lean into Jordan Hancock in that type of role. So I can see a number of ways that he could help this team. Obviously, there's, you know, some well-renowned players that he'd have to kind of beat out. I think he'll be a rostered player. Special teams might be his early course, but you can see him kind of carving out a role and then also providing more depth for Taron Johnson if there were to be an injury like there was last year. You know, a bigger player, you know, if they want to kind of preserve him, that type of role where they ask a lot of Taron to fit the run, I think that Jordan Hancock would be a lot better equipped to do that than Cam Lewis. Although you love the competitive toughness that Cam Lewis has, he's just not nearly as big or athletic as Hancock. So I like the ceiling that he would represent behind Taron Johnson.
I want to maybe connect some dots, and I don't think these are directly connected, but Jackson Hawes. So tight end Jackson Hawes, the Bills take him. Most say the best blocking tight end in the class. And if the Bills want to go 13 or big offensive lineman, do you think that it looks like they're going to have a mauler package, right? If they want to put him out there, he's like blocks like an offensive lineman. Could this be the Bills moving away from the tush push, because here's McDermott publicly worried about his quarterback and them wanting to find a different kind of short yardage or mauler package that can get results. It just kind of comes to me now, like I said, maybe not directly connected, but the Bills are going to have a smashing kind of formation when they if all these pieces come together.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting angle to it, Jeremy, and I'll be curious to see if Sean McDermott actually pivots away from the tush push, which has been a pretty effective play for the Bills. So we'll see if there's congruency between the messaging and then what the football team actually does, because there hasn't been, right? I mean, they used it the second most of any team in the league last year, and then he comes out after the season and talks about the optics and safety and protecting quarterbacks. Well, I guess it didn't really apply to your football team. So it's an interesting layer to that. So I think there's some merit to that. He will help, certainly, as you know, a guy that I believe is the best blocking tight end in the class, to help with that type of stuff. But I also think about the kick return stuff, where we're expecting more kick returns this year with the touchback being moved up a little bit. So, you know, he can help in that capacity too, outside of just traditional blocking tight end and what that means. But all right, there's going to be more kick returns. You got to be able to block, and certainly Jackson Hawes profiles to having a nice impact in that area as well.
Does he take anything away in your mind from Alec Anderson's role, or do you see them both coexisting in the offense? Like, in terms, not Anderson is like a backup, but you know what I mean, like the six offensive line package.
That's been a pretty strong staple. It was Anderson, it was David Edwards, it was Tommy Doyle, it was Bobby Hart. Like, this has been going on for a while now, so I don't know that that's going to go away. And even with that, I mean, Quentin Moore still played 10, 12 snaps a game in addition to, you know, what you got out of Anderson and that role overall. So I think they're comfortable using both. I do wonder about some of the interior questions long-term with Connor McGovern and David Edwards, both starters on the last year of their deal. You know, there's a world where Alec Anderson is suddenly looked at as potentially the successor at either spot. You know, do you want to have more options with that? Does that kind of maybe some of the Chase Lunt vision as a guy that played tight end up until his senior year of high school and doesn't really have the wingspan to play tackle, and he's a little tall to play guard? You know, do you think about him as the guy that can step into that role in addition to Jackson Hawes, and how that can kind of preserve that structure that you love with your big personnel groupings and how they like to run the ball, especially late in the season?
They did ultimately get to a receiver late in the draft. I know when we talked about it, it was someone that was maybe far enough down the radar you had not had a chance to look into deeply. But what about Caden Prather?
Yes, I still need to watch the film there, but obviously size, athleticism, not 4.3 speed by any means, but for his size, I think he runs well. I'm curious to dive into the tape there and see if there's something that differentiates him from like this group of Tyrell Shavers and Jalen Virgil, I guess Laviska Shenault in that mix for the wide receiver five spot. So I still got to get there, but you know, that's the one, that's the receiver there at 240.
Was there one pick, Joe, that wasn't the Bills over the draft that interested you the most from another team?
Oh gosh. There's a lot of them. I guess I would just say generally about the Miami Dolphins. I love what they did to add to their D-line with Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips, and then Jonas Savianaya, big mauling offensive lineman. That felt like, hey, we're finally going to admit that we got to get tougher. And I think the theme of their draft, kind of getting away from some of those just speedy, flashy type guys and like getting back to the roots of what's necessary, that's kind of limited them late in the season. I think that kind of stands out to me, particularly doubling down with Jordan Phillips late. So there's a bit of a wild card pick for you there.
Yeah. They've been called finesse an awful lot. So, I mean, that sounds like a, you know, they're getting away from that a little bit.
Different new Jordan Phillips, by the way.
Yes,
there's a new Jordan Phillips.
A different Jordan Phillips. There's a new Kyle Williams. He's also in the division,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so head on a swivel.
Look at the Jordan Phillips and the Kyle Williams. And finally, Joe, like, you know, looking back, I asked you this question, maybe had a little more time to think about it since Monday, but a time the Bills were on the clock and it didn't go the way you hoped maybe it would. You know, I think we all have this, and 5 years later, you're looking and thinking, like, I wanted Haloti Ngata. It could be first round, it could be fourth round, it could be, you know, sixth round, whatever. Is there a name where they were on it and you were thinking, it should be this, and you're just going to kind of put a pin in that guy's name and see what he does?
Well, it's obviously for me going to be the Deion Walker pick in the fourth round, especially after they traded up. And really, it's not just that I was not interested in Walker and all the layers that come with that prospect. It was, all right, you're still kind of waiting for the receiver, and then exactly those players I talked about that were visitors, DK, Thornton, Smith, they go with the first eight picks of the fourth round, and you're thinking, here's a wide receiver run. The Bills better get in on this. And I'm thinking Jalen Royals out of Utah State is a player I really liked. Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, a player I really liked, that the Bills, they had them both in for visits. And I'm thinking, well, you better go get one. And then you trade up to 109. I'm like, okay, this is aligning for the receiver, and then it's the defensive tackle I didn't want. So that would be the moment for me for sure where it didn't go the way I was hoping for when the Bills got on the clock.
All right, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, and Bills squad. We'll talk tomorrow, Joe.
Looking forward to it, Jeremy. Thanks, guys.
All right, very good. Joe Marino on the Wester Hotline.
He is a busy man.
Yes, he is.
He's going to watch Caden Prather film. How much film would that be? Hours?
Sure.
Five hours?
No. Cut-ups.
Two?
It's a good question.
I watched highlight reels of Prather, and his highlight reels are fun.
Greg Cosell I listened to Greg Cosell with One Bills Live yesterday, and he said, like, this guy shows some pops. There's some stuff here.
I noticed him, a lot of his clips were more he makes, like, he's running real routes. It's not screen passes, but he's making, like, a guy miss on almost every clip. So,
not bad.
We'll see.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want. Are you more or less optimistic or about the same on the Bills, given the offseason is pretty much done? We got 4% saying less optimistic, which I think makes sense. Leading the way, about the same.
You think that 4% is what makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not less optimistic.
No, I think about the same, and more optimistic if you have really liked what they've done. I think that you could make the case for that too. 803-0550 on WGR.